You're listening to New England Public Media News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPM's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Carrie Saldo, Worcester Bureau reporter for WGBH, and Ron Chmielis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper. Carrie, Ron, good to have you here today.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
On the Massachusetts ballot this fall, question one would give independent auto repair shops access to more diagnostic information, and supporters have received sizable campaign contributions from auto parts makers and shops. Tommy Hickey of the Right to Repair Coalition says this question impacts more than just mechanics.
We are AutoZone, we are O'Reilly. There's 40,000 jobs here in Massachusetts in the aftermarket that depend on a competitive market to be able to keep up with technology.
Connor Units is with the Coalition for Safe and Secure Data, which opposes the question. His group has been largely funded by automakers.
No other state in the country allows this information. The national funders behind this effort are trying to use Massachusetts as their guinea pig.
Carrie, as of the latest campaign finance report, $50 million had been raised by the two sides of question one, a good chunk of it from out of state. What do you think about the influence coming from beyond Massachusetts?
I don't think it's a big surprise. As Connor just said, he thinks that Massachusetts might be a testing ground here. And I think there's merit to that. You know, there's legislative trend setting to take into account. We've seen it here in Massachusetts before, whether it's the paid family leave issue. And there are people who are concerned or excited about the possibility of this being passed in Massachusetts and what that means for the rest of the country in this issue.
Ron, looking at the other ballot question, question two on ranked choice voting, there's been a fraction of the fundraising when you compare it to question one. And there's also been a lot of out-of-state money flowing in as well. Should donors not in Massachusetts have a say in how the state runs its elections?
Well, this happens every time there's a referendum question, and this is one reason why I'm not a big fan of legislation by referendum. This question, too, on ranked choice voting, this is the worst possible year, in my opinion, to put this on the ballot. People have Trump, Biden, COVID, remote schools, job security. Their heads are exploding. Very few people, except, you know, nerds like me that follow this stuff, are really paying any attention to it, and it's an issue that needs attention to be paid. So I'm not surprised that money is coming from the outside. The only reason it bothers me is because it happens every time there's a referendum question. This year's going to be no exception.
Let's stay with campaign finance. September's Democratic primary in Massachusetts' 1st Congressional District cost nearly $8 million. Incumbent and winner Richard Neal outraised and outspent challenger and Holyoke Mayor Alex Morse by a 2-to-1 margin. Ron, that nearly $8 million figure, does it surprise you that there was this much money flowing into that race?
Well, not really, because it was a race that received national attention. The Justice Democrats are targeting certain seats and certain Democrats that they thought could be unhorsed, pushed out of office for their candidates. So I knew that there would be a lot of money flowing in. And I'm not surprised that Neal really dug into his coffers, because this was, even though he won convincingly, this was a serious challenge, maybe the first one that I can think of. So no, I wasn't surprised. It bothers me because it shouldn't cost that much money to run a congressional campaign, but that's the political world we live in.
Carrie, the Center for Responsive Politics says about 60% of Neal's money came from political action committees, while almost all of Morse's came from individual donors. This is an issue during the race, but as Ron mentions, Neal won handily. Do voters care?
Here's the thing. You could 58 to 41% vote total, you can say handily, but Neal is a 30-year incumbent. So to me, this raises questions about how much money an incumbent with that type of name recognition should need to spend to keep their seat. And I think also we're going to see people sort of thinking about and questioning, does this open up a lane? This is the second consecutive challenger we've seen Congressman Neal have. It was a 70-30% vote split the last time around. Here we are, 58-41. What does that mean next time? Will someone creep up even closer?
And in speaking of elections, there are some who wonder if a recent deal between General Electric and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency to clean up the Housatonic River might be impacted by the presidential election. Some advocates who say the EPA is going too easy on GE say the feds are trying to rush this before a possible change at the White House. But Jim Murphy, a former EPA staffer who worked through three administration changes, says he doesn't expect much to be different.
Obviously, the election is going to be significant, but a trickle down to a specific site is really not visible.
Kerry, if there is a new president and this is still unresolved, there could be more delays, and this has been going on for the last two decades. What's your take on all of this?
It's been going on for what feels like forever. I've covered this, you've covered this, reporters before us, and maybe even after us will cover it. In terms of will a president make a huge difference, yes or no, I don't really think so, because here's the thing. You had a mix of local, state, and national representatives who signed on to this deal, some of whom even pivoted, who had once been opposed to it, went ahead and supported it. People in the community are still frustrated by this overall, but with that amount of support, state, local, and federal, I don't see there being a huge change to the plan, much to the chagrin of many people in the Berkshires.
Ron, those who don't want some low-level PCB-laden material dumped in Berkshire County, as the plan calls for, might be hoping for a delay. What do you think?
Well, it's hard for me to believe that this is, as Kerry mentioned, it's moved at such a glacial pace. It's hard for me to believe that in the next 2 months we're going to see all sorts of action, no matter how the election comes out. My experience in dealing with some of this with officials is that for all of Trump's talk, and there's no question he's very hostile, I think that was a term I saw in the story, he's hostile towards environmental agencies. That doesn't necessarily change everyday policy, and I don't think it's going to change this policy. I think Murphy's got a point. What will happen at its own pace.
We wrap up this week at the State House. An article from Politico says Massachusetts Republican Governor Charlie Baker might be under consideration for a position in a potential Biden administration. The governor, though, says he's happy with his job and committed to serving out the last couple of years of his term. Ron, would Baker be a good fit in Washington?
I think he'd be a great fit in Washington. I don't think he'd be a bad fit in the Oval Office. That's just my personal opinion. But I believe him. I believe him because I have no reason not to. He seems to want to be the governor of Massachusetts. I know if he's offered a cabinet job, that's tough to pass up. But he would be a good fit. I think some bipartisanship would be refreshing. But I believe that he's saying what he means. And I think we're going to see him through his term until 2022.
Kerry, Baker's very popular in Massachusetts, but might there be some Democrats in the state willing to pack his suitcases to get him out of here and try to get somebody else in?
Well, that's an interesting point, Adam. I mean, if you look at support for Baker among Democrats, it's huge. His approval rating is in the high 80s, 90% range when you looked at pre-primary voters' perspectives. But he is technically a Republican, so that's an excellent point.
All right, Kerry Saldo with WGBH and Ron Chmielis with The Republican. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPM's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepm.org/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Media.